From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome. Welcome. Well, we are feeling pretty good at the moment, we folks on the From the Top crew. And that's not just because we're spending time with a bunch of idealistic and brilliantly talented young people as usual. It's because we're doing this show in beautiful, laid-back Key West, Florida. Clearly, you all love it here, too. That's right, folks. We're coming to you from the Tennessee Williams Theater on the campus of the College of the Florida Keys. And I want to thank the theater and the Helmrich Trust for hosting our trip here to the southernmost part of the continental United States. And today we have a really special guest to meet the performers and to co-host with me. She's one of our country's most dynamic touring violin soloists, and like me, she's a From the Top alum. Please welcome Elena Uriosti.
Thank you, Peter. I am so thrilled to be here.
We are just so happy to have you. Elena, please, while I go over to the piano, would you introduce our first performer?
Absolutely, with pleasure. This is 17-year-old Aram Kim from Latham, New York, and she and Peter are going to start the show with a piece that's very near and dear to my own heart, Havanaise by Camille Saint-Saëns. Whenever you two are ready, oh, I'm so excited to say this, please take it from the top.
Thank you.
Aram Kim, 17, from Latham, New York, performed Havanaise by Camille Saint-Saëns with me, Peter Dugan, at the piano. And Aram is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. And she's going to chat now with my co-host, Elena Uriosti.
Aram, that was so beautiful and brought me back to my own days of playing that piece quite a lot. It was so sultry and just really yummy.
Thank you.
I loved listening to you, and you can tell that you have such a beautiful, sunshiny soul.
Oh, thank you.
So clearly you appreciate the music of Saint-Saëns, but you also appreciate this. Explain why we're listening to such creepy music.
Well, so this is one of the main themes of the horror movie Insidious. It's composed by Joseph Dishara. I've always loved watching horror movies, not by myself, always with my family. But I have always been fascinated by the soundtrack. It's so amazing how Mr. Bishara so creatively uses string instruments and dissonances and all that musical stuff to just create such tension within the film.
Horror movies. Oh, but you seem so gentle and sweet.
What? Yeah, no, I don't. Well, I don't know about that. I can't do horror films myself.
Yeah, you're a braver soul than I am. So why do you watch that stuff, Aram?
I just love the adrenaline rush, the gradual buildup of suspense, and it reminds me of when I walk out on stage and.
Stage feels like a horror film to you, huh?
I mean, to be honest, it's the same because you don't know what will happen. It's just.
I do understand that, and a stage adrenaline rush is one that I can get behind. But here's some movie music that's a little more my speed. Ah, the romance. Oh, and Hugh Grant and that girl and. And Alan Rickman and that other lady. Oh, it's just so romantic. That was a little bit of the music from Love, Actually, which is much more my kind of movie music. What do you guys think about that?
I hate cheesy stuff.
I secretly love it, but can we just keep this between me and you and all
I won't tell
hundreds
anyone.
Of thousands of people listening right now. Yeah.
Well, Aram, maybe you'll like that stuff when you're a little older. No, I'm just kidding. You're obviously way more mature than I am. But how do you even have time for movies? You've got this extremely rigorous practice schedule.
Well, I can still organize it by using a practice journal that I started 2 years ago because my teacher thought it would be a good idea since I have so many pieces to work on. And this practice journal, I write everything that I want to do for the day with little practice goals and notes for myself, and it's helped me throughout the past 2 years, so.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good way of organizing your thoughts and your goals, but I'm curious, do you ever write down in your practice journal things that have gone well or things you're proud of yourself about?
It always motivates me to do so, yeah.
Yeah, I think as classical musicians, it's so important, obviously, to have a good sense of discipline, but also to claim those small victories, mm-hmm. even if it's, oh, I really nailed that passage today.
Right.
And Aram, you definitely nailed it today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Aram Kim, ladies and gentlemen. Age 17, from Latham, New York.
Here's a little info on today's co-host, violinist Elena Uriosti. She's performed with pretty much every major orchestra in the United States, and she's toured extensively abroad. But she is also a highly esteemed yoga teacher and entrepreneur. She's the co-founder of Intermission, a program which aims to make the practice and performance of music healthier through yoga and meditation. Check out ElenaUriosti.com.
Wow, very nice, Joanne. Thank you. Since our next guest is a pianist, Peter, would you mind introducing him to us?
I would love to. And he's not just a pianist, he's a remarkable pianist. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat. Please welcome, from New York City, the 17-year-old pianist, Jasper Heyman. Jasper, my friend, would you please introduce what you're going to play?
Of course. Today I'll be playing Liszt's Transcendental Etude No. 10. Thank you.
Jasper Heyman, 17, from New York, New York, performed the Transcendental Etude in F minor by Franz Liszt. Wow, Jasper, that was an incredibly powerful performance. It was poetic, it was rhapsodic, it roared, it thundered. I mean, it had such an incredible dynamic range. We are all just still recovering from what that performance was. Bravo.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Jasper, even at your young age, you've actually already done a tour abroad in England with the Leeds Festival. Can you tell us about what that was like?
Of course, yeah. This was last March, and we kind of just went around Leeds and London to do about 18 performances. Ranging from, you know, large concert venues to also hospices and hospitals and children's daycare centers. And the majority of it was community service, which I really loved. And it was a special experience, because it wasn't like the normal concert. It was quite informal, which I discovered to really love because I could really communicate with the audience, and it just gave me a new perspective to music that I didn't have before.
So what is it that kind of bugs you about the standard concert format?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned before, the lack of communication with the audience, the fact that I don't get to, you know, talk to the people I'm playing for, I don't get to know the people I'm playing for. When you create that connection with the audience, it's really just special because now you're really playing for them, if you know what I mean. There's something there that wasn't before, and it's just, it makes you so much less nervous, first of all. And then you can also know for certain that people are enjoying the music that you're playing because you can see their expressions, you can hear their expressions.
Absolutely. Yeah. Although I have a feeling that this audience is definitely enjoying what you've presented to them.
Thank you.
Well, I completely am on the same page with you with the idea of how great it would be if classical music was a bit less stuffy. But I think thanks to performers like you, you're definitely changing the face of it and changing the vibe of it. Obviously, you have a lot to say, and people are very eager to hear what you have to say. However, the formality of classical concerts can sometimes lead to some humor.
Yes.
Like your recent wardrobe malfunction. Did you have like a Super Bowl halftime type situation?
Yeah, you can call it that. This was a bit while ago now, but back when I was forced to wear bow ties by my parents.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. It wasn't a real bow tie, it was a fake bow tie, and that it was like $12 that you wrapped around your neck and you clipped on. I was playing Beethoven's Tempest, the third movement. It's a very physical piece, and during the middle of it, I was crossing my hands over it, and I hear this rip. And I look down and I see a bow tie hanging from my neck, and it's just grazing the keyboard. This was in Carnegie Hall too. Yeah. And then it fell onto the keyboard. I had to brush it off, and of course the entire audience is laughing now. But it was great because I was laughing too. So it was a wonderful connection. I wouldn't say it's embarrassing. I would say it's one of my best performances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe that was a planned routine. It's a little Chico Marx bit.
Maybe.
Well, I wish I could have been there. It sounds memorable. Folks, Jasper Heyman, 17, from New York City.
For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Elena.
Well, now I get to leap into the action, or walk carefully so as not to trip and fall, grab my violin, and perform with both my co-host Peter Dugan and a brilliant 17-year-old cellist. Her name is Claire Druffner, and she's from Dallas, Texas. Claire, can you tell everyone what we're going to play?
Yes. We will be playing the sixth and final movement of the Dumky Piano Trio by Dvorak.
Can't wait.
as the sixth and final movement of Antonín Dvořák's Dumky Trio, performed by yours truly at the piano, along with today's co-host, violinist Elena Uriosti, and the superb 17-year-old cellist Claire Druffner from Dallas, Texas. Wow, ladies, thank you so much for that amazing performance. I had such a blast playing with both of you. Claire, what an incredible chamber musician you are. You're so sensitive, you're so mature for your years, and I thought you just blended seamlessly into our ensemble, and you know, it was just so much fun and so rewarding to play with
others. Thank you, guys. You made it super easy, so.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, you blended, but you also inspired us to find new colors and ways to express ourselves.
Absolutely.
That was so much fun, such a pleasure for me.
Thank you.
You played so beautifully just now, but I guess that you're naturally high energy, which I think everyone observed there. It sometimes presented a problem for you?
Yes, for sure, for as long as I can remember. About in September, I had a breakthrough lesson where I figured out my solution to this problem. I always play with so much energy, and sometimes it's gotten in the way of my sound and my phrasing. And many teachers have told me to tone it back, but when I did that, I didn't feel like I was playing, like I was being myself when I was playing.
Right.
Yeah. So I had this incredible lesson with my amazing teacher, Norman Fisher. He told me that it wasn't about the way that I felt when I was making the music. It was about how the sound sounded and how I was making the audience feel. So that really helped me sort of cradle the sound and want it to be the main point, not how I felt.
Oh, I love that word, cradle. Yeah. Well, I think, to me at least, it seems like both you felt it and the audience felt it. So that must have been good advice from your teacher.
Yes.
I have to say that I identify with this sort of problem, and I'm air quoting because it certainly didn't sound like a problem to me. Growing up, going through my musical education, I also felt really kind of inhibited by my own energy. I felt like I had so much to say and so much excitement to express, but the music would kind of get stuck in my shoulders, and my shoulders were tense and my back was tense. And actually, my yoga background, my yoga practice has really informed the way I allow the music to pass through me now. With breathing, having my sound come from the inside. So, maybe that's something to consider, too.
Yes, for sure.
Letting the sound sort of pass through you as well and onto the audience. Speaking of yoga, one of the things that I really enjoyed reading about you, Claire, was your interest in the subject of spirituality and of faith. So were you raised in a particular religious tradition?
Yes, for sure. My family is Catholic. I mean, I'm Catholic, but I was raised Catholic, and I went to a K-8 Catholic school. Which my mom is now the principal of. Shout out. So I was raised in the faith.
Fantastic. But your interest in theology, you took it upon yourself to study more independently. So what made you want to do that?
When I was in 7th and 8th grade, this is a few years ago, I started having a lot of questions about my faith, which I think everybody sort of goes through that. You know, you question a lot of things. But a quality that I think I inherited from my dad was not just to have the question, but also to research and try and find the answer. So when I did that, I found that my Catholic faith was so logical, and it just made so much sense to me what I believe, and I found out why I believe what I believe. So that was really fun.
I love that, hearing that you had the curiosity, but then also the motivation to seek out your own answers. That's fantastic. And now you've moved on from Catholic school and have grown to really appreciate your non-denominational school.
Yes, yeah, so a Catholic in a non-denominational school, I'm surrounded by people who share some of my beliefs, but also not all of my beliefs. So I've had really great conversations with my friends about what we believe. And I've found that oftentimes when people are discussing a subject, they're more likely agreeing than not agreeing. And not only with religion, but also, of course, in politics, but at home, like with my three sisters, I'm usually just too stubborn to acknowledge that we're saying the same thing. But I do think that we could all seek understanding. I heard this one thing that was, if you really care about somebody and you really want to understand where they're coming from, you really have to take it upon yourself to find out what they want and what they don't want. And I think that's really special. I mean, it gives a whole different take on discussing things, you know?
Oh, yeah. Claire totally. For president. Drefner 2020.
2020.
Claire, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for performing in that trio with us.
Thank you, guys. It was amazing.
Claire Drefner, 17, from Dallas, Texas.
Check out From the Top's video docuseries, Where Music Lives, hosted by Kevin Alushala of the Grammy Award-winning a cappella group Pentatonix. Meet fantastic young musicians in their own communities at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the ECMC Foundation, celebrating 5 years of philanthropy and supporting efforts to improve post-secondary education for underserved students. Learn more at ecmcfoundation.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Tennessee Williams Theater on the campus of the College of the Florida Keys. Coming up, a teenage clarinet quartet from the city of Miami performs the music of Astor Piazzolla. Today's program from Key West is made possible with support from the Helmerich Trust. Here again is From the Top's host, Peter Dugan.
Thanks, Joanne. Today, we're lucky enough to have violinist Elena Uriosti joining us on the program. She's one of the most charismatic violin soloists touring today, and she's meeting and interviewing our young musicians as my co-host. So, Elena, who's up next?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Cleveland, Ohio, 12-year-old Karina Deng. Karina, you're about to play Maurice Ravel's Tzigane with Peter. It's such a colorful, epic piece, and I love the way you think about it. Can you share some of that with us?
Sure. I personally think that this portrays someone that is hopeless and on the brink of giving up. But as the piece advances on, they have a rush of positivity, courage, and acceptance of their current stage. The piece ends with three majestic chords with an aura of a new beginning.
Karina Deng, 12 years old from Cleveland, Ohio, performed Tzigan by Maurice Ravel, and I had the privilege of joining her at the piano.
Holy moly! That was so amazing. Wow.
Thank you
so much. Well, I certainly feel a great sense of optimism from Tzigan in the future of music. Thank you so much for
Thank
that
you.
Performance. So I heard that one of the reasons you like classical music so much is that you love history. In fact, you love it so much that you have a hard time controlling yourself in history class.
Yes. In history class, usually I'm curious about every subject, and every time we move on to another era or subject, in this case, I find a hard time controlling myself because I really like asking questions when I don't understand some things.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah. Asking questions is good. You know, what is it about studying history that really fascinates you?
I think history class really resonates with music. Every time I learn a new piece, it's like traveling back to another century, and it's really fun to see what happened around in the world when the composer was writing this piece. Hmm. And yeah, it's almost like putting myself in the composer's shoes and taking a walk of the entire world.
Wow. Karina, that was such an amazing performance. Thank you again. And I'm so impressed also by the fact that you're a student of history and that enriches your musicianship and will continue to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Karina Deng, 12 years old, from Cleveland, Ohio.
From the Top musicians want to change the world for the better, and we're here to support them. That's why From the Top offers leadership training to all of our young musicians. And we are out there with them doing community engagement projects all across the country. Learn more about all our programs at fromthetop.org. From the Top's podcast includes music and features not heard on the radio broadcast. It's available through NPR, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Santiago Alvarez, and I'm 16.
I am Roy Rosales, and I am 18.
I'm Marcos Alvarez, and I'm 17.
I'm Matthew Vallejo, and I'm 14. We are the members of the Miami Music Project Clarinet Quartet, and we're next up on the show, and we're going to be playing Libertango by Astor Piazzolla.
The Miami Music Project, or MMP as we call it, is an after-school nonprofit program that we go to. And we go to the Little Havana location. There's a bunch of them all over the city. A lot of us started from a young age, and we've reached the level that we are now because of them.
We get to play all around the city as a representation of a small part of what Miami Music Project stands for, helping kids and showing them that even though you may not come from the greatest conditions, you can always be able to play an instrument.
We also get the chance to play these really cool gigs, like one that we did at this arts festival that happens every year in Miami called Art Basel.
Yeah, we also performed once for Pharrell Williams. We played Happy, which is one of his top hits, and it was a pretty fun experience. It was pretty embarrassing, too, because they had us walk onto stage waddling like minions, and that was pretty traumatizing. But then we got up on stage and we did our job, and it was a lot of fun.
I think one of the reasons why we make such great music together is because we all kind of have similar backgrounds.
This is Matthew. My family's from Colombia.
This is Marcos. My family's from Cuba.
This is Santiago. My family's from Venezuela.
This is Roy. My family's also from Cuba. My mom came from Cuba when I was fairly young. She was a dentist in Cuba. And I had stayed with my grandparents and my brother. I was 8 years old at the time. Music had always been a part of me. I had always enjoyed it. I used it as a way to, I guess, distract myself from my mom being gone. My mom, she struggled with it a lot, and she put on a brave face for all of us when we were in Cuba, me, my grandparents, and my brother. She always made sure we had money every single month so we would have food and supplies so we could live our life.
This is Matthew. So my family first migrated from Colombia to Miami, and I was really young at the time. And I remember being really scared, and because me and my brother had a bunk bed in our room, so I would ask to hold his hand in the night because I was really scared of, you know, my new surroundings.
This is Santiago. I moved here with my family in December 2014. The journey was hard at the beginning because we were leaving everything behind due to the political situation in my country. And that transition from like being an 11-year-old kid, not knowing any English, getting here to Miami, like being lost in school, and that transition was the hardest part of it. I think being a musician helped me a lot because it never made me feel kind of homesick. That helped me like learn the English faster.
This is Marcos. I feel that music has actually helped a lot because my mom, I like to think, is like my biggest fan. She is super supportive regardless of like what it takes. You know, music is expensive. It takes money, and she'll make the sacrifice. And I feel like when I play with this quartet and we play this Latin music and stuff like that, it's nice for them. It's nostalgic. It really, like, I like to think that she enjoys it a lot, and she tells me all the time that she does.
So now we're going to play some of this Latin music, as Matthew said earlier, Libertango by Astor Piazzolla.
This piece was, when Piazzolla wrote this, there was really hard times in Argentina. There was a dictatorship there, and he was forced to change his name because he wrote this song as a form of protesting against the government. And that's why we also think we kind of play this with more passion, because we're also protesting against everything that's happening in each of our countries.
Thank you.
You just heard the Miami Music Project Clarinet Quartet from Miami, Florida, performing Lubeb Congo by Astor Piazzolla, arranged by Juan Candemil. The quartet members are Marcos Alvarez, 17, Matthew Vallejo, 14, Santiago Alvarez, 16, and Roy Rosales, 18. And the group was coached at the Miami Music Project by Andres Candemil, who happens to be the brother of the arranger. And I, Peter Dugan, had the great pleasure and fun of jamming with them at the piano. And you guys, thank you for just letting me, you know, improvise along with you. That was really fun.
Oh, man. You all took me straight to a smoky tango club in Buenos Aires. Thank you for that. So to end the show today, Peter, you're going to join forces with the young pianist we heard earlier, Jasper Heyman, to perform a piano forehands piece. Is that right?
That's right. This is a really fun piece. It was marketed as a novelty piece in 1923 when it was written. It's very sort of Marx Brothers era, Tin Pan Alley kind of feel to it. The composer is Zez Confrey.
Great name.
Great name. He is a Midwesterner. Who was a writer of jazz band music in the 20s, and he also wrote many piano roles for the player piano industry. Really interesting guy, and mm-hmm. I think you're going to love this little ditty that we've got for you. So 17-year-old Jasper Heyman is back on stage. Jasper, hey, long time
hey,
no see, bud. Jasper, would you please share the excellent and fitting title for this little bit of froth we have?
Of course. This piece is called Dizzy Fingers.
Before we join each other on the bench, I want to thank you, Elena, for spending this time with me and with our incredible young musicians today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really sad it's over.
Yeah, it's been a blast. I also want to thank all of the young musicians who performed on today's program, and I want to thank each of you for listening. This is Peter Dugan, and now, Jasper, let's take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker and Tom Vagley. Our music director is Megan Swan, and the production manager is Matt Dykeman. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with John Escobar and Chris Rando. Lighting of our live performance in Key West by Peter Wiley, and From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com. And from Celtic Woman, presenting their 15th anniversary tour, Celebration, with guest artist Chloe Agnew. This tour highlights music from their 15-year journey, coming to cities nationwide. Tickets at CelticWoman.com.